This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. In real time, if there's any updates on J.J. McCarthy, Vikings, meniscus, we'll keep you updated. Any Hassan Reddick news, we'll keep you updated. But we transition here and get to talk to Brandon Marcello, one of the best covering college football, 24/7 sports and CBS Sports national college football writer. You can find Brandon on Twitter at B Marcello. And as we say hi, it's nice to see you again, Brandon. Brandon's got a long road ahead of him. No sleep for the next few months. Progressive guest line. You know, something that stood out, one of your recent articles was a one-on-one with Mike Gundy, of course, Oklahoma State. And I believe Oklahoma State AP top 25 today, right around 17. Some things kind of let you know how old you are. I'm an old man. So when you think about Gundy saying, I'm a man, I'm 40, and yesterday he turned 57, that was like a time warp for me. I'm like, it's been that long, and he's still there at Oklahoma State. They're sitting 17. You recently spoke with him. Are expectations high?
I think so to a certain extent. And when you look at this recent era of college football, the teams that have been really successful down the stretch are usually the veteran teams, obviously the ultra talented teams, but also those veteran teams. So you look at Utah the last couple of years, last few years really in the Pac-12, and then look what Oklahoma State was really able to do last year. They were pretty much a veteran team that 2 years ago they lost a lot in the transfer portal. If you guys remember, people are going, is Mike Gundy just not adjusting to this new era? He's losing all these players, doesn't have a lot of depth. But he took the roster he had, developed them, added some pieces in the last year or so. And now they go into this year with potentially, based off what I understand, the oldest and most experienced offensive line in college football history, based off of the numbers. Look at the average age of these kids. They're in their 20s. A lot of them, you're wondering if they've been on mission trips, but they haven't. So they return a lot of guys, obviously, from last season. And that last season's team, we know the first few games of the year, they didn't have an identity. They wanted to throw the ball. They couldn't throw the ball. They were not giving the ball to Ollie Gordon II, who blew up at running back in the last half of the schedule. And credit to Mike Gundy and his coaching staff. They had a bye week after getting blown out at home by South Alabama and losing on the road at Iowa State. And they said, whatever we're doing as coaches is absolutely incorrect. So they revamped everything, decided to give the ball to Ollie Gordon, and then they went on that run late in the season. And at the time, Mike Gundy told me this is probably the best coaching job that he's ever been a part of, and what they were able to do. So he took those veterans, figured it out, tinkered it out, got it done. They return a lot of those guys back. They should be better defensively. They should be better offensively. So when you look at this new look Big 12, why not look at the teams that have the most experience returning to potentially win that conference? And then you look at it, it's Oklahoma State, it's Utah, and it's Kansas State. Three programs that year over year under those coaches have been pretty good. And if you look at two of those coaches, they're the longest tenure coaches in college football, Mike Gundy and Kyle Whittingham. So make no mistake, those guys know how to build programs. And that's why, to me, Oklahoma State and Utah should be the favorites in the new look Big 12 this year.
Well, you nailed it, because you can match the experience with the odds in the market. Like Brandon was just saying, Utah's plus 320 in the Big 12, Kansas State plus 380, then Oklahoma State, your third betting favorite at 7.5-1. As soon as you said transfer portal, I thought about your travel from Arkansas to Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta, because you're going to be there for Clemson and Georgia on the 31st. Transfer portal and Dabo. Okay, Miami's catching a lot of steam in the ACC. Of course, Florida State is there. I'd love your overview on Dabo's approach and Clemson this year.
Well, if they don't get to the ACC championship game this year, which is a lofty goal for anybody, if they don't get to the ACC championship game this year, I think I will finally start questioning Dabo Swinney's approach, because I think everybody jumped onto that the last couple of years because he's just not signing kids out of the transfer portal. As you guys know, this past year, they're the only program in America outside of the service academies to not sign someone from the transfer portal. And one could argue the last 3 years that if they just go in the portal and get a couple of receivers, they're probably winning the ACC championship and going into the playoff at least one of those years, right? I would say that, because that's been their issue, is that receiver. But again, he's sticking to that. We want to develop high school kids. We're not really going to enter the portal when we probably need to. And if they don't win with the talent he's got there now this year and get to an ACC championship game, I feel like that I will finally go, okay, they've been left behind, because now you're a full cycle, 4 years into this transfer portal era. You have not utilized it at all. How are you going to play catch up when everybody else has got a 4-year head start on you? You can't lean on what you did in 2016 anymore. Much different era of college football. That 14 playoff era is over. We're in the 12-team playoff era. You have to change with the times. So if he doesn't win this year and get to the ACC championship game and into the playoff, I'm going to start questioning what Dabo's doing.
We'll throw up the odds for the ACC because I want to stick there with Brandon Marcello, 24/7 Sports and CBS. Florida State's plus 290. We'll get to them in a second. Clemson, we just discussed, 3.5-1. And there's Miami, Brandon, at 4-1. Obviously, the gem as far as the quarterbacks and the transfer with Cam Ward. They got a great running back as well. A lot of steam on Miami. Are you buying it?
I am. I think the thing that's held them back quite a bit is just the coaching. I think we could all agree with that. They don't necessarily have a top-tier coaching staff. They're paying a lot for those guys. Mario Cristobal has stumbled in late-game situations, as we all know, not just that Georgia Tech game, but in several games over the last few years at Oregon and at Miami. But they are built in the trenches, guys, to win the ACC this year. And look at their schedule. It is very favorable for them. A very good home schedule. They avoid some big teams on there. I would say maybe their toughest game on that schedule is beyond week one at Florida, which a lot of people go, well, Florida, they're going to be finished below 500. But it's going to be a very tough game going on the road in the swamp. But outside that, their toughest game is Florida State. And they get Florida State at home on October 26th. This is a team primed to make an ACC championship run and make a playoff run this year. But I think a lot of people are being held back by how does Mario Cristobal maybe handle some late game situations? Because there will be two or three games that come down to the fourth quarter this year, and that comes down to coaching.
You've written about it ad nauseum, but just the idea of the 12-team playoff, do you have concerns?
I don't really. I think a lot of people were just excited to see a home playoff game. I'm excited to see how some of these northern schools handle it if they get a home game. And I was talking to some ADs and even some conference commissioners about how they were sent a survey by the CFP going, like, is your stadium ready to host a game in December? Not just from a logistical standpoint. Mm-hmm. Some schools have had to reschedule graduation weekends just for the case, the opportunity to maybe host a playoff game. But we're talking about like Iowa, like, you know, is your field winterized? Is everything ready for that? But, you know, beyond that, I don't really have, I'm just excited to see it. I don't see anything where there's going to be a lot of controversy going into it. I do wonder about, we talk about resting players, like if you got a playoff spot wrapped up or whatever, is there a possibility that it lessens the importance of a conference championship game? No, I don't think so, because teams are and coaches are going to still want to win a conference championship, get that trophy, get that ring. But I do worry about, I hate to bring this term up, but like in the NBA, we've seen the last year or two, load bearing. Do you see like a defensive lineman? So for example, you know, like Bear Alexander at USC last year, I think he was averaging close to 60 snaps per game last year at defensive tackle. That's quite the load for a load of a man like that over 300 pounds. If they are in the playoff hunt and they know they're going to get in, those final 3 weeks of the season, are they going, let's cut his snaps back from 55 to 30? Do we start seeing more of that among these coaches? I think that's very possible and maybe something we're not really looking into and talking enough about.
That's a great, great point. Brandon Marcello joining us. Let's go up north, which you mentioned, the Big Ten right now. Ohio State's plus 155, Oregon's 2-1, then Penn State 5-1. I'll ask kind of the same question that I asked in regards to Dabo, but not for the same reason. Ohio State's loaded this year. Is there pressure on Day?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. I'm actually writing a column about that this week. I talked to Ross Bjork, the athletics director, the new athletics director there, about like, I was just straight up asking him, I go, if he loses two games this year and one of them's to Michigan, is he on the hot seat? Do you have to have serious conversations with your boosters? Because some of your boosters are going to be upset. And he doesn't shy away from that. So I can't wait to write that up. But I think there's a lot of pressure on Ryan Day because he set himself up for this, losing to Michigan three straight times, but also going, all right, so what I'm not doing right now is not quite working. So I'm just going to get every single best player I can out of the portal. I'm going to go hire a head coach who's coming to the Big Ten to be my play caller on offense. Yeah, expectations are high. They're higher there than anywhere else, including Georgia, I think. He's got to get to the college football playoff national championship game, I think, to keep those fans happy. Not win it, but just get there and also beat Michigan. That's a heck of an ask for someone who his only conference losses really to speak of are Michigan. And then if you want to count Oregon, just because they're a Big Ten opponent now, that Oregon game a few years ago when they came in there and just crushed Ohio State in the trenches. And I say that to say this. To me, Ohio State's not my favorite to win the Big Ten. It's Oregon. I love the way they're built this year. I love the way they've been built in the trenches. They're a program that is most alike and akin to Georgia than anybody else in the country. And for that, I like them, really, the way they play, suiting up in the Big Ten this year.
And I like what you said about the pressure even being on Ohio State more than Kirby and Georgia, because he's got equity. Like, you could turn around and say, dude, look at the resume. I'm good. I've got a couple of years here, although expectations sky high. I'll be on the lookout for that Day article. 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports national college football writer Brandon Marcello. We'll be talking to him throughout the season at B Marcello on Twitter. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, you got it, buddy. Does a great job. Make sure you go read them over at 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports as well. When we come back, we had a nice long conversation this morning. I am not big on Ole Miss this year, and there's one reason why. And Dustin's not big on Texas this year. He likes Texas, the talent, but there's one reason why. And we'll come back and discuss it. Here's a hint. Follow the coaches. Sharp Money. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Larry, our engineer, is in a good mood today because his good friend used Winner's Circle Proxy to sign up for Circa Millions. And you can too. If you need a contest proxy, talk to the experienced team at Winner's Circle Proxy, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. You can join Circa Survivor, Circa Million contest featuring $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Las Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner's Circle Proxy with an S is now in its ninth year of providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including the 2023 Survivor and Million contest winners. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's Ultimate Contest weekend from August 22nd to the 24th. It's packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winners Circle Proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access to become a VSiN Pro, stadium swim passes, free drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to winnerscircleproxy.com right now and book your appointment again. It's winnerscircleproxy.com, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. Okay, a lot to do again. Nothing happening as far as what we're betting on right now. If I do have a soccer play globally here, I will give it out because I'm looking at a couple. But quickly, Dustin Sweetelson, downtown at the D. I'm Patrick Maher. And I say quickly because I want to get all this in. And we were just talking about college football. And I always like to say, you know, the stars of college football and basketball are the coaches. Everything's so, you know, it's that revolving door, one and done, transfer, but the steadfast, those, there's always been big names when it comes to coaches. And it goes deeper than that, because when you want to talk about winning, you also follow the coaches. And I bring this up because Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss this year, and I am not a Lane Kiffin fan, not as a human being. I'm sure he's a great guy. You know, he tweets about his dog. Good for him. As a coach, I think he's a disaster. Okay, you won 10 games at Ole Miss. Who cares? Don't be fooled by perception and the name, okay? This is Ole Miss. The Grove is going to be rocking this year because this is, on paper, the best team this college has ever had. And they should, with a real coach, win a national championship. That's how talented they are. But let's get into a couple of things about Ole Miss. I was thinking about the college football playoff. So the college football playoff started in 14. So we've had 10 winners of the college football playoff. Forget the teams. Let's talk about the coaches that have won. Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, Dabo, Nick Saban, Dabo. Outlier Ed Orgeron. I don't know what to do with that. Let's call it Joe Burrow. Next, Saban. Next, Kirby Smart. Next, Kirby Smart. Next, Harbaugh. So there's a theme there. The biggest stars in the sport are the coaches, and over the past 10 years, outside of Ed Orgeron, the biggest stars have won national championships. And that brings us to Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss and why I'm down on them. And teaser, Dustin's a little down on Texas because remember, Texas lost in the Final Four to Washington last year, and Texas had hella talent, more talent than Washington had, specifically in the trench. Washington had a nice offensive line. But what did Washington had? They had the better coach. Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin are the two most overrated coaches in all of college football, and it's really not even close. Ask Pete Carroll at USC, because when he needed an offensive coordinator, he made them co-offensive coordinators because one couldn't do the job. Now, talking about Lane, all right, Lane Kiffin has been on a gravy train because he looks good, his dad's a big name, and he's got a big personality. Remember, he went 7-6 at Tennessee and flipped that to USC. He went 28-15 at USC to a 651 win percentage. He was a disaster. Got fired on the tarmac. Clay Helton, who's literally a punchline, had a 657 win percentage at USC, which is better than Lane Kiffin. All right? Just giving context. So we come back to the legit pressure that faces Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss this year. Again, I mentioned, win 10 games 2 years in a row. That's cute. That's fine. Let's count up how many times Lane Kiffin has won a big game. 1-2-0. How many times has he beaten Nick Saban? 1-2-0. Hugh Freeze, back in the day when he was coaching Ole Miss, beat Nick Saban. You remember Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze is a better coach than Lane Kiffin. That's not even close. You could talk about the offensive efficiency. His team is constantly penalized. His team never meets expectations on defense. This year could be a little bit different. And this year, their win total set at 9.5. With that schedule, if they don't win 10 games, it's an unmitigated disaster. Ole Miss isn't in the 12-team playoff. It's a complete failure. Abject failure by Lane Kiffin this year. You start with the quarterback in Jackson Dart. Speaking of USC, the transfer, he's back. Jordan Watkins at wide receiver. Trey Harris may be their best player at wide receiver. They add Juice Wells, Dustin knows, South Carolina. Four running backs at their disposal in an offense that runs the football beautifully. They had a big haul in the transfer portal, including Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle from A&M, along with Trey Harris, may be their best player. Their schedule is just absolutely soft. Five road games versus teams that didn't play in a bowl. Their tough games are at home. They don't have Bama. They don't have Missouri. They don't have Tennessee. They don't have Texas. They don't have A&M. They don't have Auburn. 9.5, they're going to go over. But this year for Ole Miss, again, Dustin, it's not about 10 wins. It's about a national championship. And if Lane Kiffin's running your team, you're not going to win a national championship. You can mark the tape. And again, all I had to do is give you the evidence. We constantly are talking about these teams that could surprise every single year. Let me read the names again. 10 since we started the college football. 10 champions. Urban Meyer, Saban, Dabo, Ogeron, Saban, Smart, Harbaugh. That's all you need to know. No chance this year for Ole Miss.
Okay. So I am a little bit higher on them than you.
But and the talent's crazy, yeah, Dustin. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Even in the trenches, this is a very talented football team.
Okay, so you have to understand what you're working with in Oxford, because it is not a program that has invested as heavily as some of the others in the SEC, that top tier. They don't have Alabama and Georgia money. They don't have Alabama and Georgia recruiting. However, Lane Kiffin's out of excuses after this year if it doesn't work. That's the big problem here for Lane Kiffin. They're coming off their first ever 11-win season in Oxford. And he called out the boosters a year ago. I'll take you back, Georgia game. They get the doors blown off by Georgia. He says, well, they have more five stars than we've ever recruited, so of course they're going to beat us. Okay. Boosters said, well, put our money where your mouth is, Lane Kiffin. Here it is. Here's all the money you need to hit the transfer portal. Brings in the kid from A&M you mentioned. Brings in another end piece from Florida. They're going to have a much improved defense. They bring in a bunch of weapons. Yesterday, they added a JUCO wide receiver that was at LSU 2 years ago. This guy in JUCO in eight games averaged 133 yards a game and 12 touchdowns, Deion Smith. So there's weapons. Jackson Dart returns for another year at quarterback. You mentioned all that. But he said we needed five stars. They went out and got him the five stars. And he can't use the excuse of, well, you know, it's the portal and I'm just trying to work everyone in and you don't know what you have until the games start. No, 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 no. Everyone in college football is in the same position now, Lane. You just did better than everyone else. Number one recruiting class in the transfer portal. You better figure it out right now because the pressure's on. Because the only way Ole Miss boosters now look back on the situation when they ponied up the cash to give him the roster necessary, according to him, to compete for a national title, well, the only piece then that's failing would be Lane Kiffin as a head coach. So, yes. We just talked to Brandon Marcello. He said Ryan Day has more pressure than anyone this year. I'd say number two is Lane Kiffin because he said the only reason I'm not Nick Saban and this isn't Tuscaloosa is because I don't have the resources. Well, you have it now.
It's a good job by you. And the empirical data is there. We'll get to your Texas take after Randall. Just a couple of things. I'm not going to knock Saban. He was a child when Al Davis hired him for the Raiders. I mean, he went 5-15. I'm not going to pretend like that's on him. Kiffin went to Oakland. That's not him. But he went to Tennessee, and this is the gravy train. He goes 7-6. He flips it to USC. Now, there was a connection to USC. He was a disaster at USC. He was literally fired on the tarmac. All right, so then he flips that, goes, takes a step back, goes Florida Atlantic to run the offense for Saban, and then turns it into Ole Miss. 5-5, 10-3, 8-5, 11-2. But here we go. Dustin said it perfectly. All right, it's Oxford. All right, it's the Grove. All right, we're not big time. Well, you are now. He got unlimited resources, and a lot of that goes to his cult of personality. I'm not pretending like he isn't good for the sport. I'm not pretending like he isn't enigmatic and does things the right way as far as branding the university and the football team. I'm just telling you, he's not a very good coach. Cliff Kingsbury's not a very good coach. Maybe he calls a nice offense. Go look and see what happened year after year at Texas Tech with Kingsbury. Some people, because they're handsome and charismatic, continue to get jobs. I'll shut up after this year. But this isn't just make the playoff. This is advance. His team is freaking, he might have the best wide receivers in the country. This team is loaded. Jackson, you can smile all you want. That is a loaded, they've got four running backs that can do damage.
I've got them winning the SEC. I've bought into the hype, but if I'm wrong, it's not me, it's Lane.
You know what? I generally come back at you here, but I totally agree. This is on Lane. This team's always penalized. Texas is coming up next, but first, Mike Randall. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. For my money, the best guest on radio or television is Mike Randall. It's greatness. FTNFantasy.com for your fantasy and betting needs. I see about 100 props NFL-wise that Randall's going to throw at us as we say hi to Mike Randall at Randall Rant on Twitter. The first question, it's important, Progressive Guest Line brings you, Mike. Did your daughter make the volleyball team?
She's in the middle of tryouts. Right now, she's going to external camp to fine tune. We worked on the diving. Things are going well. I think she's going to make the team, guys. Is she going to make JV as a freshman? That's what I don't know. If she doesn't, there could be things thrown around the house by her. But she's in the mix, and it's all about the hard work ethic, which she has.
Well, keep me updated with the text if we don't talk to you until then. You wrote over at FTNFantasy.com, you wrote one thought about every NFL team after one preseason game. First off, what are you looking for in the preseason? Of course, we're looking at the quarterbacks, who's playing, who's not. But you go into these preseason games looking for what?
Patrick, you are in Las Vegas. You are in the home of these casinos and these incredible opportunities of fortune and luck. But what's the key? The key is to be contrarian, right? The guy that's hot at the craps table, you want to bet, don't pass. So what I'm looking for is a disconnect between what the public and the fantasy and the betting community thinks and what goes on in the games. And there were several things that popped out, but they're little nuggets that if you find, you can exploit that edge.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot. Give me a few. Like, for example, I'll give you one. Jaden Daniels, Washington. And you and I think are both bullish on this Washington team this year. Now, little thin at wide receiver, we shall see. But the idea, his only series, his first series as a pro, he calls an audible, which he wasn't supposed to. Danami Brown throws a 40-yard pass, a beautiful pass. Like, I like to see that confidence from a rookie, so that stood out to me. What else for you?
Oh, where do we begin? Let's start in Miami, where people seem to love Devon Achane. And he was so explosive last year, but he got injured several times. Raheem Mostert's there pumping in over 20 touchdowns. No one cares. And what did you see, Patrick? You saw Jalen Wright, the rookie, score a touchdown as well. So for the people out there who are looking at this Miami backfield, they're tantalized by Devon Achane's explosiveness. But everything that we're hearing from Mike McDaniel, this is going to be everyone involved. And I'm not exactly sure what the split is going to be. But that's one of the things that you see. You say, wait a minute, maybe there's something to that.
I like that one. That's a nice little nugget, Randall. Let's talk about some of these props. I mean, you're digging deep on some of them. This is what Randall does. And again, we're starting to get more involved in fantasy here at VSiN and VSiN version 3.0. So FTN Fantasy is a tremendous place to go for that. I'll just go in order here. Isaiah Pacheco, Kansas City. You've got him rushing for over 900.5 yards this year.
Walk outside of the casino and ask 100 people who Isaiah Pacheco's backup is. I'll hang up and listen. You'll be lucky if you get 15 people that know that. Isaiah Pacheco, and don't tell me, Patrick, this is a New Jersey take here. Pacheco from Rutgers is the clear lead running back. The backups, Denarik Prince, an undrafted free agent from a couple of years ago, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the corpse of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Pacheco is going to be involved in the passing game as well. He's going to be in on third downs, Andy Reid said. It's the back-to-back and a belly-to-belly Super Bowl champions. Isaiah Pacheco, clearly the lead running back, so we like him going over 900 yards. We have almost 1,000-yard projection here at FTN Fantasy.
I got a comp for you on Pacheco, RIP, but Marion Barber. They run exactly the same. The same style.
Patrick, one of my favorite players of all time. Yes, that's exactly right. And I understand there's injury risk, but there's injury risk with every player. He's on the field. He's going to break this number.
Zeke Elliott is back with the Cowboys. You love to see it, Randall. Well, not necessarily. 600.5 rush yards is the prop. You're going under for Zeke.
Yeah, how many outs do we need for this one? First, Rico Dowdell looks pretty good. Secondly, Zeke is going to get the goal line carries. We know that. But the coaching staff was talking up Royce Freeman. Oh, by the way, there's rumors of Khalil Herbert. I just don't see a situation where Zeke is getting the ball over and over again enough to get 600 rushing yards. He was better as a receiver with the Patriots last year. I think he's involved. I think it's a committee. I think they could bring someone in. Check, 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 check. Give me the under on Zeke Elliott, 600.5 rushing yards.
If you're the Texans, you add Mixon, but you lose Singletary. Is it a wash? Maybe Singletary? At this point in their careers, maybe you take Singletary, and you like him with the Giants. You've got him over 725.5 rush yards.
Yeah, this was before the Tyrone Tracy injury today, although I'm hearing that Tyrone Tracy's injury is just a sprained ankle. He had his air cast and was carted off the field. But to me, Devin Singletary is clearly the lead guy. Tracy is a rookie. We saw Eric Gray do some nice things, 2 touchdowns in the preseason game. But he should absolutely get enough. You've seen multiple 100-yard games with the Texans last year. He's now in an offense with Daniel Jones, who likes to run a little bit. I think opportunity knocks. I think he clears this one, 725. If Tracy was out, I think this number would have ballooned. So since he's okay, you may want to grab it now. He's going to get the lead carries. He's going to be the main running back in New York. I like this number over for Devin Singletary. We have about 775, by the way.
775. Okay, thank you. Over at FTNFantasy.com, one thought on every NFL team after one preseason game. Chicago, I'll give you the one for me. Caleb Williams, DJ Moore kind of sat in between defenders, and you saw the arm strength. Speaking of DJ Moore, you've got him over 68.5 receptions.
Yeah, DJ Moore was really impressive to me in that game. And Caleb Williams looked fantastic, was absolutely great getting open, making great throws on the run. Keenan Allen, veteran, didn't get targeted in the game. Roma Dunze, still a rookie here. There's now Gerald Everett ahead of Cole Kmet in the tight end. Death taxes and DJ Moore. How many years, Patrick, did we say if he could only get the touchdowns? He gets the touchdowns last year and goes absolutely crazy. I like him in this situation going over the number. I think DJ Moore is going to be completely involved. 70 receptions seems like an easy one for me. He's an elite wide receiver one in the NFL.
I think they're overrated in the market, although it's an exciting year for the Bears, and I am a Caleb guy. Oh, maybe his style, it doesn't extend itself to me to think Randall would be with Williams, because with Caleb Williams, there's going to be a lot of, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened plays, and a lot of that was a disaster play.
Yeah, there is, but I like the arm strength. I like the mobility, him hitting players on the run. He can run a little bit, and there's always a team, Patrick, that goes from worst to first in the division here that can surprise. So there's no reason why the Bears are sort of a popular pick to maybe make a run here at the division. You know, I like the Packers. Lines are there as well, but the Bears are going to be solid here. If this kid can deliver and have a good rookie season, not a great one, a good one, Bears are going to be in the mix.
Next up, FTNFantasy.com's Mike Randall. So Seattle's got tremendous wide receivers, but Geno already some concerns with injury. Tyler Lockett under 775.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, our own Jeff Radcliffe put out a video short on this recently on his podcast, and I completely agree. This is a play that Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to eventually take over the wide receiver two role from Tyler Lockett. I expect Jigba to have a great year, especially second half of the year. DK Metcalf, of course, the number one. And guys, most importantly, they re-signed Noah Fant, who's been super disappointed as a tight end for Seattle, but he's still really athletic. He's still young. They made it a priority to sign into a two-year deal, $20 million. They're going to use him as well. They all can't hit the over unless we're talking about Peyton Manning with his incredible year where he threw 55 touchdowns. I don't see it happening. I'm betting on the veteran, Tyler Lockett, to take a step back. Let's go under 775 receiving yards. We have him for about 730 here at FTN.
Randall, our Commanders, it's not great. They signed Martavius Bryant today. He hasn't played in the league since 2018. That tells you wide receiver depth is an issue. So what do? You go wide receiver one, Terry McLaurin, over 900.5 receiving yards.
I have no idea why people don't believe in Terry McLaurin. F1, super fast, 4.3 speed. He's been as solid as they come with 1,000-yard receiving each of the last 3 years. Stays on the field. Now he has Daniels with a massive arm who can take advantage and take the top off here of the defense. Second wide receiver, Diame Brown, Jahan Dotson. Zach Ertz is like 50, the lead tight end. Yes, Ben Sinnott is there, but he's a rookie. To me, this is a slam. Terry McLaurin, 900 receiving yards, over 1,000 yards here at FTN for F1, Terry McLaurin. He is the clear lead wide receiver for the Commanders.
They've got great models over at FTNFantasy.com. If you think that NFL knowledge from Randall is exquisite, just imagine he does all of his NFL research with one eye on college basketball research. That's impressive, Randall.
I can't wait for college basketball. I'm doing an interview with your own Greg Peterson on his podcast in a couple hours to talk college basketball hoops. It's always college basketball season, Patrick.
Randall the GOAT. Mike Randall, FTN. And good luck to your daughter, FTN Fantasy Chief Content Officer. You can find him on Twitter, @Rand. Hey, by the way, the hair looks exquisite.
Hey, I'm refreshed and replenished off vacation. We're getting ready for September. Let's rock and roll. I may shave my head for next week.
He must have used SPF 200. That ain't a tan, Randall. We'll talk to you next week. We're coming back with Texas football next. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm going to have a couple plays before the show finishes up here, Dustin. Me and my soccer guy going back and forth. Leagues Cup. So as you know, Leagues Cup is an annual soccer competition between MLS, Major League Soccer, and Liga MX. So United States and Canada is MLS. Liga MX is Mexico. Annual competition between the two. Very spirited. I'm going to have two plays coming up later in the program on that. So make sure you jot them down. Big guy. Dustin Sweetelson, he's hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Okay, so a couple of things. We keep you updated. No live bullets right now. We don't have baseball until after the show concludes. So we've got real time. And real time is knee surgery ahead for Vikings rookie J.J. McCarthy. Now, we had our buddy on earlier. His name evades me for a second here. I'm sure
Tyler
Fornes. Yeah, Tyler. He did a good job explaining with the meniscus. It could simply just be something you go in there, you clean it up, and you're good to go. Or if there's like an overlapping situation, it could lead to an extended rest for J.J. McCarthy. Listening to Tyler, it doesn't sound like this really throws a wrench as far as, I mean, it does as far as McCarthy's development. He needs as many reps as possible. But Sam Darnold has been awesome. He was great in the first preseason game, and the plan all along was to start Sam Darnold and kind of build a bridge. It's a team that's sitting 6.5 in the Minnesota Vikings. It's heavily juiced to the over, but 6.5 on the season win total. They're playing in a division, you know, squarely looking up at the Lions, the Packers, and of course, who am I? Oh, even at this point, you know, 8.5 on the Bears.
Yeah.
That's a 2-game difference. So looking up at the Bears as far as expectations in the market, the Vikings, now, we want to keep you updated with everything that's happening. So we do have sound, big guy, from Kevin O'Connell, the head coach there at Minnesota.
Yeah, a couple notes real quick. Our NFL betting guide over at VSiN.com, available for a while. Looks like the write-up has the over 6.5 as the prediction for their official write-up. Also, Steve Mackinnon, our power ratings expert, has them set to come in last in the division behind the Bears. So you kind of hinted at that with the win total. Let's hear from Kevin O'Connell.
I don't know about that, by the way.
That they finished last? I think that I actually agree with you. There is a world where TJ Hockenson comes back a few weeks into the season and Sam Darnold cooks with weapons he's never been given before in the NFL.
Well, as far as just catching the football, Hockenson and Jefferson, Hockenson is not a good. He's a great receiver out of the tight end spot. He is tremendous.
If we said top two targets and we let tight ends be a part of the conversation, it'd be difficult to top them. I mean, you probably could because there's, you know, Tyreek and Waddle down in Miami and what they can do yak-wise. But fair. Hockenson and Jefferson are in that top probably 5 to 7 discussion for sure.
Yeah, totally. Because Yak, as far as a tight end, Hockenson's right up there as well. I mean, he gets open. He's very good. And Jefferson's just on another level. Okay, yeah. So O'Connell, who's going to go with Darnold. However, this isn't great news because he is a quarterback developer. And these coaches get so persnickety about literally every single rep. And so let's hear from O'Connell.
This is Kevin O'Connell meeting with the media earlier, just laying out what happened with J.J. McCarthy's injury.
You know, we went through some pretty extensive testing and after testing last night, it has been determined that J.J. does have a tear in his meniscus, you know, in his right knee. You know, he will need to undergo a procedure that, you know, obviously to that will hopefully take place, you know, in the near future here. Don't have a timeline on that, but as far as the timeline of the injury, that will be something determined during the procedure based upon, you know, whether it can just be a cleanup or potentially a repair. That won't be able to be determined until that procedure takes place. So I really would just be speculating on a timeline for a return at this point.
So you want to be a head coach. That's Kevin O'Connell, who has aged in his few years there with Minnesota. You could tell. Look, he's a super nice guy and amiable. He's doing the Skype on video. It comes across crisply on television, which we appreciate. But my man is beaten down. Well, we haven't even started the regular season.
Well, think about what he had last year. Let's remember when Kirk Cousins went down. Kirk Cousins was playing in MVP caliber football. You know how I know? Because I bet him to win MVP. That's how good he was. And we were talking about how he was absolute at his peak of his powers. He goes down, Josh Dobbs, Jaren Hall, we're mixing and matching at quarterback. And Kevin O'Connell knows, no matter how good of a coaching job he does with backup quarterbacks, if he doesn't have who he wants under center, his job is always on the line.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think the expectations are for a bit of a rebuild this year.
Sure.
And he seems to be, you know, solidly entrenched there. But I follow your thread. I think we have more from O'Connell here.
This is Kevin O'Connell talking about when this injury happened to J.J. McCarthy's knee.
You know, it did take place in the game. Yes, it was, you could go back and watch 1,000 plays and try to figure it out. But yes, it did. You know, it did take place at some point in time in the game. And, you know, thinking back and having watched it a few more times, I would just be speculating, you know, because there wasn't a moment where, you know, it was noticeable and or JJ experienced any immediate discomfort in the moment.
All right. There you go. Kevin O'Connell. I think that's it.
Well, there's one more.
Oh, there is.
Yeah. Because
please.
Sam Darnold now, kind of no pressure for the first few weeks, a bit of a free roll where he was originally going to be looking over his shoulder, but now McCarthy sidelined. So Sam Darnold, who really, it's been a minute since he's had a chance to compete with a real legitimate team, steps in as quarterback. Kevin O'Connell, do you trust him?
You know, Sam's had a really good camp, and my confidence level in Sam is very, very high at this point, and looking forward to seeing him continue his progression that we've had for him throughout the early part of camp into that first preseason game. Now we'll have a couple days of work with the Browns. And then obviously as we roll through the rest of these preseason games and more practices to kind of complete the training camp process here before we move into the regular season, I'm really looking forward to Sam's continued, you know, growth, success in the offense. And I know his teammates and the rest of the coaching staff have been really enthused by what Sam's done. And you know, my confidence level is really high in Sam.
Okay, I think that's the right clip to conclude with, because let's be very clear about what we're trying to accomplish on Sharp Money and VSiN. Look, immediately you just apply injuries like this to the market. And this isn't Jaden Daniels. This isn't Caleb Williams. I'll get to you, big guy. He's got news, it looks like. It isn't Jaden Daniels. So this isn't going to impact directly what you're betting on, because it was going to be Darnold all along. Now, Dustin, it looks like you have breaking news.
Well, related to this, you know, a few months ago, you and I talked about how I like Sam Darnold for comeback player of the year at 30-1. And then the NFL dropped some news during the spring where they said, you know, the stipulations for this award, we want to make sure it's about people overcoming adversity with injuries and all these issues, because they didn't like that Joe Flacco won comeback player of the year award a year ago and DeMar Hamlin did not, because he literally died on the field. So the NFL is annoyed at that. And then in my head, I said, well, they're saying Sam Darnold at 30-1 can't win comeback player of the year. So I didn't bet it, because if that's the stipulations they're going to throw at these writers, they're going to manipulate things that way. I didn't want to take that shot on Darnold, who I am very high on this year. For some reason, I was never high on him at all previously. I look now over at DraftKings, and Sam Darnold for comeback player of the year is now 12-1. So the leash he's going to be given in Minnesota leads you to believe that he not only has a chance to, I don't know, play well early, but hang on to this job a lot further into the season than anticipated, therefore making him more eligible for this award.
We'll get springy, big guy. Get like a frog and hop on that number, 12-1.
I mean, it's been cut more than in half. I hate it now, because the NFL came out and said that they don't want people like this to win, but now it's shortening up. And now, look, he has an uphill battle. Rodgers is the favorite at plus 140. Burrow's 3-1. Cousins is 5-1. Anthony Richardson's plus 650. Nick Chubb is 9-1. He was a little bit longer as well. Darnold goes from 30-1 to 12-1. That is the biggest move related to this J.J. McCarthy news.
You must be close to turning 40, because you just mentioned Nick Chubb. Anyway, you know, we were talking about Hassan Reddick, who has requested a trade.
It happens less at this age.
And then the Jets went on Twitter or X and immediately were like, we're not trading them, which is, people don't use common sense. People, you know, people can't handle social media. Keep it in-house, Jets. What fascinates me, and I do think the Jets are a house of cards this year, because it's dysfunctional, because it starts with Rodgers. There's a piece up at ESPN. They start with Rodgers' quotes about Hassan Reddick. And then at the bottom of the article, they get the head coach's quotes, who happens to be a defensive coach in Robert Saleh. That's all you need to know about the Jets.